All right, ladies and gentlemen, doctors of chiropractic, welcome to the Sherman Connect call today on February 12, 2018. My name is Dr. Brian Dooley of Sherman College of Chiropractic on the line, and I'm very excited to be hosting the call, and we are more than grateful to have us here or have you here with us. Right now, the line's muted. We will open the line when we have an opening, and if you are near a computer or mobile device, please feel free to tweet or post that you are on the call so your colleagues can join us. Feel free to post the call on call-in line phone number and the code or just the link to www.sherman.edu/connect. Also, I want to personally thank our Board of Regents for their support and making the programs for our students and alumni possible. I also want to remind folks that Sherman College Constructing the Future at Lyceum 2018 will be May 3rd through 5th, 2018 at the downtown Marriott in Spartanburg, where you can get up to 23 hours of continuing ed. You may be wondering why Lyceum is not on campus. The issue there is we're in the midst of a $20 million renovation project, which is going along amazing. And so I hope folks will keep abreast of what's going on there. The campus is just going to be absolutely amazing. I hear some of the construction's ahead of schedule, and we should be done with everything by December 2018. Let us go to why we're here. We have with us Dr. John G. Murray, Jr. His topic tonight is Sustainable Stoke, Pursuing Excellence in Chiropractic Practice. Dr. Murray graduated from Palmer College of Chiropractic in 1980 and has been in practice since then. He lives and practices in Clinton, New Jersey, with his wife of 37 years, Diane. He is the father of four children, one of whom, Dr. Hillary, practices with him. Dr. Murray says his life revolves around his family and chiropractic, as well as other pursuits. So, Dr. John Murray, the call is yours. Welcome, welcome.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Brian. Well, man, it's really exciting to hear all the cool stuff that's going on at Sherman. I mean, I was treated so well when I was there to speak at Lyceum last year, and it's just really an honor to, you know, give you my two cents a little bit with what has kept me going in my practice since 1980 or so. And you know, how do you keep it going? I think the key thing for me is that my story a little bit is that I had never been exposed to chiropractic till 2 weeks out of high school, and I received my first adjustment from a student from Palmer, and diversified adjustment. It did things to my body that, you know, it just felt right on. And within 2 weeks, we're driving down to a DE seminar and then back up to Davenport, and where I enrolled in a little junior college there. And so 5 years later, I graduated. And but the fact that it wasn't an educated decision when chiropractic came to me, I guess you could say, it wasn't an educated decision. I think it chose me and gave me a choice in life, because I really didn't have a plan. I was going to join the Marine Corps at the end of the summer in 1975, and I said, well, I'm going a different direction now. So I'm so eternally grateful for chiropractic, in that it has given me this opportunity to grow as a person and help a few folks along the way. So I think for me, fundamentally, I talk about the difference between intrinsic and extrinsic motivation. And intrinsic motivation comes more from, you know, from within you, with the idea of helping people, being of service, you know, as opposed to extrinsic, which you're looking at things that are, you know, could be more material or things like that. But you have to have balance, in other words. But I think I've lent myself more towards the intrinsic type of motivation in my practice. You know, it's a matter of choice, you know, the power of choice. We give our patients a choice. They ultimately decide what they want to do, but what gives me this motivation every day is giving people a choice, and because chiropractic gave me a choice 43 years ago. And chiropractic in and of itself is a lifelong vehicle for self-improvement. And I think, you know, when if you can wrap your mind about that, I mean, if you're a student now, you're going, oh, man, you know, I just want to get done with studying. I just want to get out there. But I would just say keep honing your craft, learning how to be the best adjuster possible. You know, be open to all the techniques because they all work. And this sustainable avenue of choice that you establish for yourself, the power of choice, I'll say that again. And also the power of lifelong service. I think that chiropractic, you know, many people have a service attitude in life, but I think there's something different about chiropractic because we have nothing to hide behind, you know. We you know, people come to us, and it's not like you give them something to change how they feel. You know, you lay your hands on people, you figure out, you know, where their interference is, where the subluxation is based on your technique criteria, and you adjust their spine with love and care, and in doing so, removing nerve interference, their body heals. And we have nothing to hide behind. We're out there exposed, you know, but we've got the greatest thing in the world, and that's the miracle of life. And that innate intelligence that animates our material bodies. The power of lifelong learning is another thing. Just keep learning. I'm probably going to blow through all my stuff, but anyway. No, you know, always stay green on the vine, if I could say that. You know, humble yourself to stay green on the vine. In other words, when you're ripe on the vine, the next stage in life is that you rot. No matter how many years in practice you might be, whether you're just starting out, or 10 years, or 20, or 40, or 50 years, just, you know, I think the guys that I see around, and they're all over the place at Sherman, they have this sustainable stoke. I'm just talking about it, but there's a whole bunch of people living it down at Sherman College, and they're graduates. You know, they're doing a great job, stay green on the vine no matter how many years in practice. Like just this past year, well, I studied, I graduated from Palmer in 1980, and we were versed in the Palmer package, which, you know, was diversified technique, Thompson, Gonstead, and the like. But I got certified in sacral occipital technique while I was there. And then in the 80s, and late 80s and 90s, I started studying glera cervical technique with Dr. Weldon Muncy out in Lancaster County in California, Antelope Valley, I guess that's where it is. But that changed my life too, the Blair upper cervical technique. It just, and I vowed before I bite the dust, or because I don't think I'm ever going to retire, so to speak, that I would seek a certain level of mastery in that technique. And it wasn't until just recently, in the last 2 years, that my daughter came into practice, that she studied it with Dr. Hubbard up in at Palmer, that we were able to start implementing this technique. And it's been great, you know, upper cervical specific work, I think. And I was just telling Brian, I'm going to be down there in April at Sherman to take an intermediate course on it. I, you know, you can always keep learning. I hope I'm not rambling on too much there, Brian.
No, you're sounding fine.
Okay.
I'm interested in you.
Okay. And but the Blair upper cervical work, you know, Dr. Margaret Banich, I've been under that care for 30 years, and so we practice a variety of techniques in our office just because we try and hone in as specifically as we can to what our patients need. And that's what makes it interesting for me. You got to make your practice what's interesting for you. You know, if you find that it always be curious. You want to be curious. Yeah, curious as to why did that leg check clear out when I did that, and maybe it didn't when I did that, and it all looked the same. So you just got to want to be curious and just keep searching, and you know, the stay green on the vine, stay green on the vine. And I would say another thing in life, heeding your hunches. The biggest decisions I ever made in life, you know, weren't these big educated decisions. In fact, when I got into chiropractic, all my friends in 1975 were like, well, what's a chiropractor make? And they were all going to Columbia and all these places to be, you know, MBAs and all this stuff. And I'm like, heck, I don't know. It just feels good, you know. And and to me, that it's the feeling that chiropractic gives you. You know, when someone comes in and, you know, you set their atlas in such a way that you know you cleared their spine, you know, there's nothing more rewarding than that, and for me anyway. You know, it just feels right. It just feels right. So, you know, heed your hunches in life. You know, the three biggest things that happened to me in my life weren't educated, like I was saying before. They were, BJ often said, heed your hunches. And being a chiropractor was definitely heeding my hunches. In fact, it was undeniable. It wasn't even like a hunch. It hit me between the eyes. And then coming out of chiropractic school, I had three large goals that I never wrote down. So take heed of that. They never happened. I was not going to get married till I was 30. I was going to have a condo and a Porsche, and that was going to bring me nirvana somehow or whatever. But I never had any three of those things. But heeding hunches, chiropractic, becoming a chiropractor, and getting married, I knew it was the right thing to do as soon as I met Diane. And then our home office, where our home office is. We've had a home office for over 34 years. And I was riding my bicycle one day down the road, and I saw a plywood sign. I know I'm rambling, man. A plywood sign spray-painted that said, lot for sale. I hopped off my bike, ripped it off the tree, and said, that's it. That's where our office is going to be. So it's all this culmination of things. I think the biggest thing is following your gut feelings. When my daughter came into practice, you know, I was like, well, how are we gonna have her be on equal footing with me? I've been in practice for 37 years and 38 years, whatever. How are we gonna be on equal footing? And it was at that time we introduced Cox technique with flexion distraction, and that coupled with Blair and all our other techniques, it allowed us to just, you know, get in there on equal footing. And with her understanding of Blair and the Cox and the SOT, you know, we came in there and the people trusted us. They trusted my recommendation to trust her. And she is also of continual learning. So upper cervical and the Cox, they were good things that we introduced in our office. We see, you know, for the longest time I was a diversified practice and always SOT and Thompson. But, you know, with the upper cervical, it's taken on a different path now a little bit. Might not do the same amount of volume we used to do, but it's still pretty voluminous. But there's a different sense in satisfaction, at least for me. You know, I reiterate, all the techniques work, and they all get wonderful results. Just, you know, let your intention come through your hands. Yeah, you know, everybody, again, getting back to the thing where, you know, we have nothing to hide behind. Miracle of life, just remember that. There are no miracle pills, no miracle exercises, no miracle supplements. Just tack on 9 months to when you were born, and that's when the miracle happened, the infusion of life into your material body. And another thing that's kept me motivated over all the years is, you could call it prayer, meditation, whatever you want to say, but meditation, affirmations, polishing the internal mirror. You know, the BJ spoke about pygmy versus giant. You know, you got that educated mind that is always knocking you, and it's the pygmy. It's the giant is your innate wisdom, your subconscious, if you want to say it another way. But, you know, meditation, affirmations, a simple affirmation, meditation every morning, just get some beads to count, 108 beads. You can use a Buddhist mala or two times around a Catholic rosary, and just say a constructive affirmation 108 times, and about halfway through, your conscious mind quiets and you start to polish your internal mirror so that whatever comes in is filtered through that mirror. You know, that that's been part of my routine for 35 years, and it's a way that I set myself straight in the morning. You have to guard your energy if you're going to sustain this chiropractic practice. And I know the guys that are out there, maybe there's somebody out there listening, that there's probably more than a few that are doing this longer than me. But meditation, keep constructively polishing your internal mirror. Be yourself in your office. We try to have fun. I mean, we have a good time. You know, I have some analogies, metaphors, and similes that maybe only I get, but that's okay. But be yourself. But be yourself. I think that's one of the greatest things you can do, because that's, again, chiropractic is an art, science, and philosophy. I think we get inhibited, you know. Behind every success is an uninhibited person, and I read that once. It might have been in The Bigness of the Fellow Within, I'm not sure. But my office went through the roof when, about 3 years after we got the home office, that was like 1986, so like 1989, 1990, I was just a little bit complacent or just feeling like we weren't where we should be in terms of service and things like that, taking care of people, reaching as many people as we wanted to. So I spray painted on this with orange paint on the side of, on the front of my office, ADIO, above, down, inside, and out. And problem was, it was lost on everybody because it was around Halloween and everybody thought I was vandalized. But anyway, it was just that uninhibited, I'm just going for it, you know, and not having reserve, and just go for it. Just go for it and have fun with it and keep learning. And, you know, stress-free, you want to practice as stress-free as possible, and a lot of that has to do with being yourself. But you have to guard your energy. So meditation in the morning, even at lunch or evening, whenever you want. You could do it multiple times a day, but I have the luxury of a home office, so I nap. You know, I'll have a lunch when I'm done working. We go 7 to 11, and then I have lunch. And then I do Tai Chi every day. Tai Chi, warm-up stretching, and spinal qigong, I do that every day. If I miss once in 100 days, it's a lot. It's made a huge difference in my life. Just, you know, I'm 60 now, and so, you know, chiropractic's physical. You know, you are seeing that. And then the young doctors, man, I'm telling you now, be kind to your bodies. I played Palmer rugby, and I played over 108 rugby games, and I'm feeling that stuff. Plus high-volume chiropractic for a lot of years. So be kind to your body. Warm-up stretching, spinal qigong, it's on my website. You can go look at it. Three little videos. How to therapeutically, you know, move for your spine. It's awesome, and it augments chiropractic fantastically. It's wonderful. So Tai Chi, warm-up stretching, qigong. Yoga's great, too, but I find the oscillatory wave-like motions of the Tai Chi are just more conducive just to the movement of chi in the body, energy in the body. The nap in the afternoon is imperative, man. If for nothing else, it's not even so much for my physical body. It's more to just turn off your brain. One of the things that they say about sleep, I just read this study, is that when you sleep, you forget. When you sleep, you forget. You forget all the little things that could have bothered you in the moment, but it leaves you. So I'd like defrag my hard drive, between sessions. We do the split shift. I'm old school. I should reevaluate my hours, but anyways, we still do that split shift, 7 to 11, 3 to 7, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then Tuesday morning, Saturday morning. But my daughter's in there now. We work together most of the time now. And then my younger daughter's boyfriend of 10 years, Zach, he's graduating Palmer in February. He's joining the practice, too. He's interning with me now. So he's got the Blair upper cervical down and the good hands-on adjusting as well. But guard your body, protect your body. Tai Chi, I might tick some people off, but I would say watch the CrossFit stuff. Do it with tempered with a tempered approach, because as you go through life, and you're all chiropractors and you know this, it's not your will that's gonna let you down. It's, you know, you're motivated. You show up every day in your office and you want to help people. It's not your will, and it's not your muscles. If you can move, your muscles respond. It's the joint function, and we see that all the time, right? We see that all the time, whether it's spinal issues or it's the hip degeneration in the hips or knees. You know, you say, I want to move, and your motor cortex says fire, but the joint doesn't cooperate. The joints are like the transmission of the car. So the sooner you can be kinder to your joints in your body, keep getting adjusted. Make sure you're getting adjusted. I'm sure you do. But, you know, you have to take care of your body. You know, guard your body. And I'm speaking to the choir here. I know that. And I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. You know, be yourself. And everybody's got, you know, their practice systems in place. That creates less stress. I've been friends with Freddie Schofield since 1978. We do a lot of his stuff, but he allegedly served him his first beer, if anybody knows Freddie, in the United States in 1978, but I can't believe it. But anyway.
Well, he took a liking to it.
I'm sorry?
He took a liking to it.
He did take a liking to it. I said, you stopped in Chicago on the way. There's no way you stopped there and didn't have a beer. So he was my coach, and we've been great friends for a super long time. You know, I wanted to just touch on something. Unless you want to interrupt or anything, Brian, or anything like that.
Well, let me do this real fast, as we're just about midway through the call, and then we can go ahead and continue. I've got to do stuff. So you had mentioned Dr. Schofield, and that was a good segue, because he will, and his wife Susan, will be at Sherman's Lyceum May 3rd through 5th, downtown Spartanburg. Our plenary speakers will include Dr. Edwin Cordero. He's kind of a big deal around Sherman. Dr. Jeannie Ohm, Dr. David Fletcher, Dr. Dean Satilli. We are offering continuing ed sessions with Dr. Robert Brooks, Nicole Cowley, Dr. Dean DePais, Dr. Curtis Fedorchik, Drs. Jay Holder and Brandon Mahaffey, Dr. Daniel Knowles, Dr. Tom Kolarik, Dr. Pat Cuda, Dr. Christy Kwan, Dr. Aaron MacArthur, Dr. Nayland Marcus, Dr. Matt McCoy, Dr. David Maruz, Dr. John Murray, there you go. Dr. Matthew Richardson, Dr. Scott Rosa, Dr. Armand Rossi, Dr. Jason Sabo, Dr. David Smith, and Dr. Bruce Steinberg. So we have some pretty heavy hitters coming for continuing ed. You can also get philosophy with Drs. Jessica Harden, Dr. Jamie Carr. Rose Panico will be with us. Jen Steinberg will be doing a CA program. And along with Keith Wasong, Deborah Southard, and Jennifer Martingano. So we're pretty excited for Lyceum. I'm glad to have Dr. Murray and Dr. Schofield. You guys can probably reminisce about that first serving of the beverage, and you can see exactly what the story, if it was true or not. I'm sure he would tell you. So with that, we hope people would check out Lyceum. Please check out www.sherman.edu/Lyceum. And with that, Dr. Murray, please, please, please continue.
All righty. So I was just, just keep studying. Arm yourself with information, because chiropractic relates to everything. I mean, the philosophy is so right on and so true that you can explain so many things through it, and there's no gaps in it. And you can explain, excuse me, one of the avenues that I've explained chiropractic to anybody at any level is the five signs of life, Stevenson's textbook. The five signs of life, you can explain the principle of chiropractic. You can explain any office situation and encounter by having an understanding of the five signs of life. And you're probably all familiar with them. They're the five signs of life have to do with they're all performed with intelligence, and they have an order of importance, and they're assimilation, excretion, adaptability, regeneration, and reproduction. And it doesn't matter if I was talking to a pharmaceutical guy, and we got talking about, you know, how it relates to the autonomic nerve system, the adrenergic versus cholinergic systems, and, you know, a mother, when you explain to them that the first thing a baby does is assimilate, it breathes in, and then it latches on, and then it better be excreting. When we talk to moms about colic babies, we use the five signs of life all the time. So assimilation, excretion, if you're doing those two things, you're going to be adapting. That baby's going to thrive. And then if you're adapting, that means you have a greater capacity than demand, so you're going to have resources left over to regenerate new tissue cells as they periodically regenerate based on their job description. And then the reproduction part of it, I explain, is optional. If you educatedly decide you don't want to have kids, it doesn't mean you're not healthy, but if you're going to have kids, you got to display that sign of life, the potential to reproduce. You know, we have a lot of infertility problems today, and it's a function of, you know, can be other variables, but basically it's overall health. So tissue cell regeneration. So I explain a lot of stuff. So if anybody hasn't really looked at that aspect of Stevenson's textbook, I mean, you can explain almost any situation to any patient chiropractically basing it on the five signs of life. I mean, I just haven't met MD. It doesn't matter. Check it out. I can't tell you the chapter. It was a junior text. I'm not sure. Do you know, Brian?
Well, I know if you signs of life being, you know, what is that, principle 18, I believe, that you'll find in the senior text.
Okay, the senior text. That might be it, senior text. So,
Yep.
So I use this stuff all day, every day, in terms of, you know, relating it to chiropractic, the subluxation and such.
Well, that brings up an interesting point. How often do you use the words innate intelligence in your practice?
I probably use it. I'll probably use it 20, 30 times a day. But I'll also use life force, God within, or use an analogy that there's something in you that's not in a corpse.
Right.
You know, to make sure they understand that it is life that heals the body, and it's that there is a life force separate from our educated intelligence, and, you know, that runs the show without us thinking about it.
And how well do the patients receive that?
They receive it very well, especially I'll say a thing like, you know, it's not about cracking backs. I could go up to DeVoe's funeral home and crack a bunch of backs and nobody's getting off the table. You know, so I use pretty graphic, like, you know, I find with social media today that you almost have to be, I wouldn't say over the top, but you have to really paint pictures, you know, with words. The bottom line is I want them to understand it's as life that heals their body, not some inanimate aspect. You know, you need nutrition, you need material. I mean, while we're stuck in this material body and the innate intelligence animating that body, well, in order to express the five signs of life, you need intelligence and matter. So that's, you know, the nutritional part of it. But, you know, we talk about life force all the time, innate intelligence. We, you know, differentiating us from our vitalistic approach to health and well-being and just expressing their potential. You know, we're every patient of mine's a Ferrari.
Right.
That's how I tell them. You're a Ferrari. You know, or whatever you want to be. Some guy might want to be a big Dodge Ram diesel, you know, but I want them to understand this is all about human potential in the end. Nerve interference, the subluxation, you know, mitigate. It challenges human potential. And, I mean, My grandson comes over every Tuesday morning with his mother. He's the first guy I see. He's two. He's the first guy I see every Tuesday morning. And he just loves, we have the home office. So when he comes here, he says, let's go to the office. Let's go to the office. But he you know, with kids, I mean, it's the greatest thing in the world. How, when we adjust babies, there's nothing purer than that. They're just little receptive vessels. And they'll let you know if they don't like something. But they'll also let you know through being calm if they do like something. So that's when that baby lays there as you're adjusting them and they don't make a peep, you know, they're totally receptive to their life force, their innate's totally receptive to what it is you're, what forces you're applying to their spine. You know, so I think, if, you know, if, I'm sure they're all, you're all taking care of a lot of kids in your office. We take care of quite a few, but they're the purest expression, you know. And on the other end of the spectrum, a 90-year-old, we had a new patient today, 90 years old. He's been under chiropractic care for over 40 years. My daughter took care of him today, and, you know, his posture was awesome and, you know, very vibrant. I mean, dressed sharp. I mean, this is the chiropractic lifestyle, man. You know, it's great. So this man was very excited to actually be adjusted, you know, and not just having, you know, whatever people want to do, they can, but, you know, not having stem and different things done. I never felt, you know, that by adding that to the body that it did a whole heck of a lot, so I've never used it. But yeah, we talk about life force, innate intelligence, so that, I hope I didn't ramble on too much.
No, well, I like that, because oftentimes I'll hear as we're introduced, and one of the classes I teach at Sherman is a philosophy class on the 33 principles, and
right.
Oftentimes as we're doing it, you know, one of the things I'm going to hear is that, well, you know, the patients just don't get it, and I wonder if the patients don't get it or the chiropractor actually doesn't get it.
Or is unable to convey the message.
Right, and that would be the next point of it.
You know, I think the biggest thing is conveying things through analogy and metaphor. That's one of the things I do best. I hate to say it, but it's true. I wrote even a little booklet on table talk. I mean, using metaphor and analogy, paint pictures for your patients. You know, like the rock on the hose thing, right? It's so simple, but yeah. You're right. I think we have to just don't be afraid, and don't be inhibited about conveying something that is immaterial, right? We all want the material. We want to put our hands on stuff, right? But, you know, we have to be able to convey the concept of the immaterial animating the material. And that's fun, you know? That's kind of fun. I mean,
well, I think it's a great time. I mean, one of the things I added this quarter was, once we go through, you know, 2-3 principles a day, whatever it is splitting the class up and saying, you know, you get this one, this principle, you get this principle, you get that one, and you're speaking to an accountant, you're speaking to a high school teenage girl, and you're speaking to, you know, a CEO.
That's
and
awesome.
So come up with your content. And
right
it's,
on.
It's really, like you said, it's really fun. And it's fun for me to, all right, who's coming in the office today, and how can I teach them about innate and subluxation interfering with innate's expression, and how can I get that across? And it is a good time. And it's okay that they don't take it.
Right. It's,
you know,
okay.
And it's okay. But as long as I do my job, that's the important thing. And,
right.
You know, I can divorce myself from the result. And sometimes it's just, all right, they didn't get it today, but they'll get it.
And if they leave with a good taste in their mouth, they reactivate.
Yes.
You know, and that's the key, you know, and I that's so right on. You know, I always make it a point to know something of personal note of, you know, it sounds crazy, but maybe it's just my memory or whatever, but I can remember little things about patients. I try to take a special interest in just a little something about them, you know. And you know, some are more dynamic than others. I had this new patient the other day. He bench pressed over 500 pounds at 18 years old in his 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. I mean, that's insane.
Good heavens.
And
I'm not sure I've done. I'm not sure I've done that total all those years.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't. Are you kidding me? But I always try to remember something a little bit about people. It sounds crazy when you see hundreds of people a week, but you know we're all about establishing relationships, and I think that's another thing too. You know, to keep yourself. We're human. We're all humans. I don't look at myself as being. I mean, I am the authority, and I the way I describe myself as a chiropractor is I'm a compassionate, assertive chiropractor. Compassionate, assertive. You know,
right.
We're going to treat people with compassion, but we're going to assert our knowledge and our values. You know, to give them the best care possible. They might not get it right away, like you say. And maybe they don't. There might not be ever get it like we do. If they do, they'd be a chiropractor. But
yeah, that's true.
But you know, knowing something about them, a little, just a little something. You know, take a special interest, develop relationships, explaining them. I think one of the greatest things we kind of do too, is explaining them that, you know, all the medications out there are just mimicking what you already have inside you. Your autonomic nervous system, your sympathetics versus parasympathetics, you know, adrenergic versus cholinergic. They're just aping what you already have inside you. So, you know, wouldn't you rather activate your own health from within? So we talk in those terms. We explain to them actually, and you know, and it might go over their head a little bit, but I just tell them, look. All the drugs, what they're doing, we have like large autonomic charts, posters around our office all over the place. We like to talk about the autonomics a lot. I just find it exciting to talk autonomics. You know, I have this patient with gastroparesis. His first adjustment, he literally cried on the table after I toggled his atlas and activated the vagus nerve. He just cried on the table. I mean, it's insane. And then he's improving and you know, just so we're not just dealing with back pain. You know, here's this kid and he's only like 24 and he was in a car wreck and hit a telephone pole at 50 miles an hour. Well, it screwed up his upper cervical area and other things too, maybe. But you know, you set that atlas with confidence and clarity, and good things happen. I mean, and I do full spine, too. I use SOT Category 1 in conjunction with the Blair, that vasomotor adjustment in the mid-dorsal area. I mean, I combine things a little bit. It's an art, science, and philosophy. Those guys, I'm just standing on the shoulders of a lot of other people. I've really not come up with anything original, but I look at things, and I see... You know, you can combine things. They did. Why can't we? You know, be creative. Be creative. Creativity is what will keep you motivated over the long haul. Just be creative. If I'm in the office and I have a 2-minute break and I have a thought flash, I'll just go click on the video and just do a stream of consciousness video about something. You know, I do that all the time. Just keep honing your craft, communication, adjustment, table talk. I'm saying a lot of stuff over and over, I think, but service hand, business hand. You know, that was old Sid Williams stuff from way back in my first introduction to chiropractic. I didn't know what the hell those guys were talking about, but I'll be honest with you. But it resonated with me, you know, of serving people. But, again, you have to be kind to yourself, and you have to, you know, make it, you know, service versus business hand. The two don't know what the one doesn't know what the other's doing. And we definitely work it to make it so everybody can afford it. And I'm just seeing if I left anything out. Yep, chiropractic opportunity for I don't think there's another profession opportunity for continual personal growth throughout your life. I mean, maybe an attorney. I don't know. I'm sure that heart surgeons and all that, but. There's something different about chiropractic. There's an esoteric, but there's also a concrete scientific thing. It's got a lot going on that just I find fascinating, and it's the right thing for me. I was always looking out the window in grammar school, and it's the perfect job for me. I have no windows in my office, and I just go from room to room task to task, get it done, do the right thing, and move to the next. So all day long, it's a hit parade. You know, it's just a continual hit parade all day long in the office. So
it's interesting that you were saying just some of what you said about, you know, sustaining your energy and having fun. Well, you had something else on here. But I know when, you know, I sort of fell into chiropractic myself, or it sought me out probably, and mine's a bit of a long story, but I know that in previous jobs that I had, a vacation was truly a vacation to vacate out of my life, where now it's more of a celebration because, as you said, you do work hard. And now I can sit back and A, reflect on what I did, and then B, fill up the tank to go do it some more.
That is so right on, Brian. That is so right on. I mean, it is hard work. It's emotion. You know, it's you're laying it on the line, man. You know, you're laying it on the line and every day. And you're right. You're right. And when I say to every new patient, I said, I'm not here to replace medicine. However, I'm not here to duplicate it either. You know, So we let them know that, you know, hey, if you got blood gushing out of your neck, I'm going to refer you out, you know, not to worry. I mean, no problem. I mean,
toggle the atlas first. Toggle the atlas first.
That's it. I can tell you the Beulah Schuyler story. Oh, boy. But
go for it.
Well, Beulah Schuyler was about 86 years old when I'd taken care of her a long time. It's probably 20 years ago. And I always, you know, I said, you'll make it to 100, Beulah. No problem. And I go from, my rooms are in a row, and they're like right in a row, and you go down the central hall and you duck into the room. I move between the rooms in these 2-foot openings where I just move between. Well, I go from room 1 to room 3, and I say, hello, Beulah, how you doing? And I'm in room 3 working on adjusting someone, and I hear this slumping fall and boom. And so I go in room 2, and there's Beulah face down. And so I said to my front desk girl, you know, call 911. What are you going to do, right? It's call 911. Beulah's down. So I'm like, well, I couldn't sense a pulse. I couldn't really sense any breathing. Maybe it was just me and him. But I said, okay, well, before I go start doing mouth-to-mouth on old Beulah, I'm going to set her damn atlas or something here, so I'm going to adjust her. So I rolled her onto her back, made sure her airway was clear. She's like 86. Made my analysis, and I laid into that atlas like never before. I said, if there's one rivulet of energy still in that cortex, if there's one rivulet of energy, we're going to get it out. And she perked back up. Perked back up, and within about 2 minutes, you know, within about a couple seconds, a thready little pulse came back, and shallow breathing kicked in. And you know, those aren't the greatest days in your office, you know, when you got to call 911. So the paramedics came, they took her away. But you know what? I think they determined their gig was they did a pacemaker. Anyway, but she lived another 5-6 years, but I'm glad it happened in our office. I mean, we got her going. But my first thought was to adjust. When in doubt, adjust. When in doubt, adjust. That's the old Beulah Schuyler story. I know it's probably kind of boring, but it was a...
No, it's a good one.
But there's a... When in doubt, adjust. When in doubt, adjust. Let's see.
What are some of the books you had keep studying earlier? What are some of the books that either, you know, that you read, that you go back to time and again?
Well, you know, I always go back to The Bigness of the Fellow Within. I love that. I'm, you know, and I'm always studying technique. I got my nose in the Blair Manual all the time. Gonstead, Thompson, I keep reviewing it. SOT, that's just a lifelong study for me. When I'm not studying, you know, technique and anatomy and things like that, but the Bigness of the Fellow Within, for me especially, the story of that something. It's one of my favorite stories in the world. I'll read that, you know, just every so often, the story of that something. It's the beginning of The Bigness of Fellow Within. I'm sure you've read it numerous times.
Yep.
That, to me, is exceptionally motivating. You know, Barge's books. I mean, the adjustment specific, the subluxation specific. You know, I just keep reading those old books again. There's so many nuggets in them. I've got some old original green books with BJ's autograph in them, and they're just it's hard to believe. I picked up a chirometer not long ago too. But anyway, so I read a lot of technique, and I read doing that. And when I'm not doing that, I read some historical fiction just for for escape, I guess. But definitely, and one of my favorite things, if here's a little thing you can do, hand out on Mother's Day. I always handed this out on Mother's Day from The Bigness of the Fellow Within. Don't ask me why, but everybody loves this. It's called Lady, Are You Rich? I've handed that out on Mother's Day for a long time. And the women especially love that story. It's a little story, half a page maybe, in The Bigness of the Fellow Within. Lady, Are You Rich? I like to say I'm reading, let's see, I can't think of much else that I'm reading. I read, you know, Weston Price Foundation. I'm reading, you know, that stuff. Joe Stuckey's old technique manuals. I got those. If you've ever heard of Joe Stuckey, he was from La Crosse, Wisconsin. Great, chiropractor. I read a lot of technique. I've Prill's work, Dr. Prill. In Blair, they do a modified Prill test for cervical discerning which level of the cervical spine is involved in correlating with the misalignments you see on X-ray. Prill's work. Some cool stuff. I'm trying to think of something else, but it escapes me right now, Brian.
It's good. I love the idea of the lady, Are You Rich? What else do you do in your office? Because you said to have fun, so what else do you do?
Well, what do? You know, my staff is just awesome. They make it fun, and we play great music in the office. You know, I don't play, you know, a lot of guys, people play Baroque or maybe some real mellow stuff, but we play Motown, we play Traffic, you know, Jethro Tull, Yes. That's the kind of stuff we listen to in the office. So our music is, I play the music I like. That stoked me when I was younger. You know, you create the mental equivalent of youth through activating the endocrine system.
Right.
You know, so we play good music. Our office is always busy, so there's a lot of energy. My staff is really friendly and talk to people just like people. You know, we're not stuffy. We kind of just, let it rip. But it's very professional, and all the time we get, you know, comments on how thorough our exams are. Like, we, you know, give a really thorough chiropractic exam, you know, and we x-ray most people, I would say. You know, that's not for everybody, but I'm a visual person. I liken it to calling before you dig, you know, before you get a tractor in your front yard. Nobody's argued with me about that one. So if any patient ever says to you, I don't want x-rays, well, it's like call before you dig.
That might be the best analogy for that I've heard. That's fantastic.
Right? Not bad, right?
Yeah. No, it's pretty good.
I mean,
you get a lollipop for that, my friend. You get a lollipop for that.
See, that, if nothing else, call before you dig. I mean, you want a track hoe in your front yard? I don't think so. But
yeah, exactly.
But so no, what do? We just have fun. Our, you know, we have a lot of stuff on the walls, sayings on the walls. We have epigrams on the walls, and they're in the font, BJ's font. You know, we had it made up ourselves. We got pictures of our family up. You know, we have a lot of family stuff up. You know, I surf and stuff, and so we have, you know, I'm no big surfer. To say that I surf is to also say that I throw a baseball. You don't want me quarterback pitching for the Little League even. But, but you know, we just try and have fun and be ourselves. You know, I came from, my father had an eighth grade education. He got out of the Marine Corps on a Monday and started at Public Service Gas Company on a Friday, taught me how to work, taught me to, you know, look to help people without looking for anything in return. So I heard that from him first, and then when I went to DE, that just reinforced everything my father ever told me. So I think that in part too is why why it resonates with me, because I draw on that. You got to draw on stuff that stoked your flame when you're in your youth. You know, did you ever hear the? I'll leave you with this, but the Lord of the Rings, the part where the King of Rohan, you know, he's totally negative and withered and about to die, and Gandalf goes there and says to him, "You would discover your youth if you would place your hand on the hilt of your sword." And he's like, well, I don't even know where my sword is. And, well, they got his sword, and then as soon as he touched his sword, his youth came back and his strength came back. So I think as we go through life, we have to tap into what turned us on when we were young. Why'd you get into something in the first place? Whether it's a marriage, or whether it's your job, or whether it's whatever. You know, what fired you up in the first place to do it? And try to keep rekindling that throughout your life. So you'd remember your youth better if you placed your hand on the hilt of your sword. For me, it's hopping on a motorcycle, too. Hop on a motorcycle or whatever, you know, whatever does it. Listening to music. Music, you know, listen to the music you want in your office. Don't play something you think that you should play because some practice management guy said it. Just play what music you like. You know, just do your thing. Stoke your own flame and enjoy your practice. It's, you only go around this thing once, I guess. So they say. But another book, check out a book, Molecules of Emotion by Candace Pert. I don't know if you ever read it.
No.
Great book. She got her PhD at Johns Hopkins for discovering the opiate receptors in the brain, looking for a cure for heroin addiction and all that stuff. But that whole Molecules of Emotion and When you can tap in on an emotional level to things that moved you when you were young, you activate your glandular system, and that cements the deal. That's just like doesn't matter. You're 18. You're doing it just like you were. So, you know, tap into your youth by creating the mental equivalent. Now I'm not playing rugby anymore, so now my Tai Chi and my weightlifting is my rugby game. But I create the mental equivalent. My office is my rugby game. You know, I'm really nice to people, but once in a while you draw the line in the sand with a patient. That's like some guy trying to cross my try line. Sometimes you have to get intense in your office. It's not all fun and games. Sometimes, once in a while, it's about intensity because you believe in what you do and you're not going to take any crap either. So there's part of that, too. So that's not a big part of how it goes in my office, but every once in a while it's like, okay, enough's enough. This is what we're doing. I'm the doctor in charge. I'm moving in, and I'm taking over. That's the affirmation I have my daughter do and my intern, Zach. I'm the doctor in charge. I'm moving in. I'm taking over. And you do it with compassion. That's the key.
I like it.
I said it all.
Well, you did great. It's 9:55.
Well, I hope it was worthwhile.
I think it was. I totally enjoyed listening to it. I love the idea of the whole having fun thing, and you can be an extraordinarily competent clinician and have a good time.
You can, and I really believe you can, if that's your nature.
Right.
You know. And
I know when I started teaching, I started teaching anatomy at a community college, you know, for doing labs.
Wow.
And the first, you had to give, you know, a 15-minute talk, PowerPoint, and then they would get into their dissecting or study of models or whatever it was. And the second class I did, and the first two classes I did, I basically just sat and looked at the computer, which wasn't even facing the class. And then I thought to myself, if I was taking my class, I would totally hate me as a teacher.
Right.
And then I think I put my hand on the hilt of the sword, because then I started thinking, what were some of the things I liked in class?
Right,
And I started doing those things where, at the very least, you know, maybe the students, you know, didn't get my references, but I liked them, and so I had a good time. And I tell the students, listen, I'm here to entertain myself. I hope you get something out of it.
That is so right on. And they will, you know? they will pick up on that, man. That's the best way to go.
Well, it was interesting because today in another class I teach, we were talking about networking. And for me, one of the best examples of how not to network, per se, is the opening of The Godfather when the guy's coming to Vito for justice.
Right.
And you know, you talk about it, and, oh, gosh, the poor class. You know, 60% of them hadn't seen the movie. And I'm like,
right.
I don't care what you got. I don't care that it's midterms. Go watch the movie.
Right, right. It'll resonate.
Oh, it totally does, and that's why, you know, we got the best job on the planet.
It is the best. It is the best, and we were fortunate enough to be called to it.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, and it's not by accident by any stretch.
No.
Why we're here doing the things that we're doing.
No, because. I don't know what else that I would do. I'm sure I would have been a good, you know, excavator or something, and we did that on the side with my dad, and would have been good at it. But this has been so good to me. Raise my family, you know. It's just having a home office where I could, you know, go downstairs, you know, and just go to work. But yeah,
I like the home office idea. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it's we've got like four rooms, and then an X-ray exam room, and then a larger room in the back. So we got about 2,000 square feet in the house. So it is pretty large. It's and it's separate from the rest of the house. And if you're ever up in New Jersey again, you'll have to come in, Brian.
Oh, I'll have to. Yeah, it sounds like a place I want to check out. There's no doubt about it.
And
I get up there a good bit more. I get up there a good bit more than I probably ever thought I would. But chiropractic keeps sending me up to the Northeast, but that's not a bad deal.
No, it's not. Not a bad gig. Not a bad gig. But definitely, we'd love to have you. And you know, just that's the beautiful thing of chiropractic. You can put your own nuance to what you do. There's, again, art, science, and philosophy of things natural, and, man, it's a great vehicle. But
yeah, beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I'm excited. If I don't see you, what's that?
I made an hour, I guess.
Oh, you're fantastic. Are you exhausted?
Yeah. Yep, but I enjoyed it tremendously, Brian.
Oh, thank you so much. I did so much as well. I know I have some things to read now, which is always a good thing. And I got a new buddy to hang out with at Lyceum.
I'll see you down there, man. I'll be down there. I don't know what day I'm speaking yet, but I'll be down there. I'm going to a Blair seminar down there April 13th, 14th. So I think that's probably at the school, I'm thinking. So
yeah, more than likely. So. Hey, yep. Good. You'll be seeing all the dirt we're moving around.
That'll be great. That'll be great. All right, Brian. Do I sign off or anything? Or?
Yeah. Well, you can. I'm going to go ahead and do a little bit of a close, but
Oh, okay. Yeah. No. I'll hang while you're closing.
Yeah, that's fine, but I so greatly appreciate you having you here. So not that that was a non-fumbled close, but that's okay. But ladies and gentlemen, we're so grateful that we had Dr. John Murray here with us today. He'll be here for the Blair Seminar if you're coming to Spartanburg, but he will certainly be doing his. You doing SOT? At Lyceum?
I'm going to be doing like just combining different techniques in a busy office, kind of something like that.
Beautiful.
Yep. How technique integration, you know, and the overlap of such.
So come see him at Lyceum when he's talking about his technique integration. That should be fantastic. Please share with your other friends and Facebookers that you were on the Sherman Connect call. Remember that this does happen every week. Sherman College of Chiropractic is your resource for Monday evening chiropractic motivation. We are looking forward to seeing you at Lyceum in May, and I certainly want to personally thank our Board of Regents for their support and making the programs for our students and alumni possible. And please, please, please join us next Monday, 9 p.m., as it is almost every Monday, when we'll have Dr. Jessica Harden with us. And on February 26th, we'll have Jen Steinberg, CA extraordinaire, with us. And March 5th, we'll have Keith Wasson, communicator extraordinaire of chiropractic. So we have a pretty thick load for the Sherman Connect call. So we hope folks will come back. And once again, Dr. John, I so appreciate you being with us.
Well, thank you very much, Brian. It was my pleasure. And we'll do it again sometime if you'll have me.
That'll be great. We will see you down that chiropractic road.
Right on. Okay.
All right. Have a great
Cheers,
night.
Everyone. Okay. Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.